What is up, everybody? This is the Rafters Podcast, episode 13, brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. My name is Connor Strayer, and I'm here with the producer, Liam. Liam, what's up, dude?
Nothing much, you know, the usual. What's going on with you, Connor?
The usual? Not much. I know we are both excited about this Celtics squad right now, with starting off going 3-1, especially what happened last night. So tonight, spooky season right now. It's Halloween. Celtics have the night off. I'm sure they're all trick-or-treating right now, getting into shenanigans and stuff. But last night, they took down what everyone thought would be the number one seed, the Milwaukee Bucks. And they didn't just take them down. They destroyed them in the second half, 116-105. What were your thought about last night's game?
Honestly, I was completely surprised, especially when they went down. Our offense has been scoring the ball so well. I thought it would be a competition, but then they went down. I started losing hope. I really hoped Kemba could galvanize the troops and get everyone together. And I was very impressed by the defense Marcus Smart played on Giannis. He still got 22-14, but overall, just great performance by the Celtics. Love to see them beat a powerhouse in the East like that.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. I mean, the Celtics, I was just surprised about their starting five. You look down the box score. Tice had 11 points. Tatum had 25. Hayward had 21. Walker with a big whopping 32. And then Smart at 19. The bench didn't really do much. They played their role. But the starting five that was put out there did amazing. And I didn't expect that. We saw in the first half, they didn't play too well. They started to come back towards the last couple minutes of the second half. But really, I thought the Bucks were going to run away with this and really just make this game a joke without Jaylen Brown on the floor. Because last night, Jaylen Brown did not play. He was feeling under the weather, probably had too much candy or something.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had a shot, but this was very encouraging. I don't think a lot of people are talking about this. It's very encouraging to see this team beat the Bucks without Jaylen Brown, who is one of their better players.
Absolutely. And I hate to be that guy who's so negative, like, oh, the Celtics are going to lose. I don't have faith in them. But I just had to be realistic. You know, I know you said you think they're the first seed. I firmly disagree. I think the Sixers, undefeated Sixers, actually, the hands-down first seed. But the Bucks are, in my mind, an easy second seed. Like I said, a powerhouse. So when they're playing the Celtics, especially the new-look Celtics right now, I would imagine they'd be still getting used to things, getting the chemistry together. I just didn't have a whole lot of faith. But, man, was I surprised.
Yeah, and I'm surprised by I'm a big fan of Gordon Hayward, but I'm very surprised with him through the first four games of the season. I don't think he's back. I know he's back. He's been putting up his old numbers. I mean, he had 25 points in the first game, 15 in the second, 9 in the third against New York, and he put up 21 against Milwaukee.
Big 20 yesterday.
I think these numbers would be bigger, larger, if this team didn't have, like, the type of cast around him. He has a lot of good players around him. If he didn't have a lot of great players around him, he would probably be scoring 30 points a game.
He doesn't
need to be the man on this team. And I think this is what is great about the Celtics team. Gordon Hayward could get back into his groove, and he doesn't have to worry about scoring the most points. All he has to do is do what he did last night. He went 52% from the field, and that's amazing. Just keep doing that. Or even if you go 40 like you did in New York, just keep doing your thing. Just keep being that role player, and there won't be a lot of pressure on you.
Absolutely. And I'm not looking for him to, like you said, he's not the man. I'm not looking for, like, it'd be great if he went back to that all-star caliber 2 years ago. But he's just got to play his role. He goes out there, gets everyone involved. He's a great rebounder. Against the Bucks, he had 10 rebounds. I mean, if he goes out there and plays his role, he's got two other wings that he can sling it out to. And yeah, he demands a lot of coverage. He's very athletic. So he's essential to this team going forward.
Another guy I was impressed with last night was Grant Williams. I know we didn't play a lot. He only played 15 minutes. And he didn't do a lot of the scoring. He only scored 2 points. But he played great defense. He's been playing great defense. And this is a kid that I think is going to start getting minutes down the stretch going into the bulk of the season. He's going to get minutes. And I think Brad Stevens knew this going in. I think he saw something in Grant Williams. That's why they signed Taco Falls to a two-way contract instead of having him up full-time. I think they want Grant Williams to be more of that big guy on this team, because he's looking like he can play defense, and he just plays good, solid basketball. He knows what to do.
Absolutely. He worked him into the system a little bit. He's still a rookie, so he's just dipping his toe into the water. Mm-hmm. I loved what I saw from him against the Knicks. I mean, he only had 7 points, one assist, one rebound, but he was just out there. He was playing his role. I really hope he can fill like an Al Horford role in a sense where he's a great hustle player. He can do a lot of things very well, doesn't do one thing in particular. And even though he is terribly undersized, and I was afraid of that going into the season, yeah. He certainly doesn't play like it. He's been dominating his down low, playing a little bit of bully ball, and that's what you want to see early.
And going forward, I mean, after we beat the Bucks last night, going forward, it looks like the Celtics have a decent schedule, decently easy schedule. You go to you play New York again at home. You go to Cleveland, who they're a joke. That's another dub. You go to Charlotte. We're just laughing at these teams.
Wow. Yeah.
So going forward, I think over the next three games, I think you go 3-0. You should. The Celtics should go 3-0. And then even after that, you play these are some games that I want to see. Really want to watch at San Antonio. I think even without the big names of San Antonio, it's still a well-coached team. Pop is still one of the best out there, and he will always have his team ready. The Dallas Mavericks, they play at home November 11th. That's a game I want to go to, seeing Doncic and Porzingis out there. That's going to be a tough game. And then after that, again, you go on a little run where you play Washington, Golden State, Sacramento, Phoenix. Those are all easy teams. So going forward over the next 10 games, it's looking really good for the Celtics.
Absolutely. I am a little worried about San Antonio and Dallas, as you said.
Yeah.
Kristaps Porzingis and Luka are just on an absolute tear. Every game, I've loved watching them because I've always been a huge Kristaps Porzingis fan. I absolutely hate that he was on the Knicks, and I always was waiting for him to get off and get onto a good team. Now that he finally is, I can root for him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But and the San Antonio Spurs are still the Spurs. You know, they're one of the greatest organizations of basketball. As long as Pop's the coach, that's not an easy game.
Yeah, they're always a tough opponent for anyone, especially if they're at home, which they will be playing at home. And then the game will probably be the first real game besides last night that we want to see is against the Clippers in L.A. That's going to be a tough game, November 20th, primetime game on ESPN. It's a little bit late for those kids out there listening. 10 o'clock, so you're going to have to stay up late and watch this game. But, oh, my God. This game, November 20th, mark that on your calendar because we're gonna play against one of the best in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard, yes. And his All-Star team.
Canceled. All I want to do is see
Kawhi Leonard against. Everyone's gonna be tuned in for that game. I wish it was at home. I wish it was in Boston because I would 100% buy tickets for it. I don't care how much it would cost. I would get tickets for it. Right now, you could buy tickets for it in LA for $23. $23. What a bargain to go see two of the best teams in the NBA play. If they played here in Boston, guess what those tickets would cost? Probably close to $200. So it's a stretch. But like we said, going forward over the next 10 games, Celtics have it very easy. Would you be surprised if they went like 500 over these next 10 games? Or would you're expecting like 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10?
Yeah, I'm expecting long stretches of winning. I mean, they're on a 3-game win streak, 3-1. But going forward, I expect, like we said, the Knicks, Cavs, and Hornets all should be easy. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped one of the easy games going forward again. Mm-hmm. I think they're still trying to figure out the chemistry and stuff. But with the way the offense is rolling, I see no excuse for them lose, even dropping a game. I would understand it, but I don't think they should.
Yeah, I mean, this team also has a lot of depth to it. So a lot of these games, like we said, in the next 10 games, a lot of them are on the road. However, we have so much depth. Like last night, they won without Jaylen Brown, which is huge. I mean, it's not going in Jaylen Brown's favor that we won without him, but still, it's a good sign that we can handle a good team if like a player goes. You never know, because like throughout this season, there's going to be injuries. We know someone's going to get hurt. Probably one of our key players, maybe not. But you want to have some reassurance that this team could step up. And last night, we saw the fight. We saw the fire. Paul Pierce was there. I'm assuming you were watching the game.
Oh, absolutely. That was so hype. Oh, my God. Jason Tatum high-fiving him going down.
Yeah. Paul Pierce was firing up the crowd. And I think that was a big reason why the Celtics won last night. Paul Pierce was in the building and pumping everybody up. It looked like it was an electric atmosphere. I wish I went. I regret not buying tickets for it because this game looked so fun, especially when they started to come back. But speaking and Kemba Walker went off. I'm so surprised by Kemba Walker this so far. I didn't think he was going to be able to handle the spotlight at all. I didn't think he was going to put up these type of numbers. But is he your MVP so far for over the first four games?
I guess I would have to say so. When I watch him play, he puts up a very quiet, large amount of points. Like, he had 22 points, 32 points, and another 32 points over the last three games. But when I'm watching the games, I don't realize it's not like I'm seeing him going off and I'm like, oh, he's got another one. It's just kind of one of those things where at the end of the game, I check and I'm like, wow, Kemba had another 32 points. So it's like, he's not taking over the game by any means. He's getting everyone involved. And obviously Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, when he was playing, still got plenty of shots. But I would have to say he's been playing the best out of all of them so far.
Yeah, definitely he's been putting up the most points. He's been playing surprisingly good defense for we'll see if it sticks. Yeah, it's still a long season. Like we said, it's only been four games, but I'm pleasantly surprised with this team so far, especially that they don't have a big man, because I think further down the line that's going to come down to Giannis a little bit, unless, like we said, Grant Williams can really step it up, but he's undersized as well. I know Taco Fall will be playing a decent amount of games up on the Celtics, but he's not going to be here full time. And he's raw. So I'm excited to see him play a little bit in Maine as well, once he's down there a little bit. And I want to see what he can somewhat do against lower-level talent. Because if he's not dominating down there, then there's no bother. There's no way we would bring him up.
Absolutely. I think Kemba Walker, honestly, sorry to cut you off there, but like, I think he really needs a big man. Like, all the plays he's been getting for the Celtics, a lot of them are pick and rolls. He gets free, he'll hit a mid-range jumper, he'll stay out at the three and hit it. And honestly, that's been the majority of the shots I've seen him take. So we need a good big man setting those screens. And even better, if he can flick it to them for a roll to the basket.
Yeah, and I think we will end up going for a big man, because if we continue on this hard start, and if we go, like, I don't even know, if we start winning, like, 9 out of 10 games, 8 out of 10 games going forward, and this team's on fire, the Celtics organization has to go out and get a big man, because that's really what's going to put us over the top at this point. A solid big man that can cut to the hoop, do pick and rolls, just knows how to do his job. It doesn't have to be the best big man out there, but I mean, I've seen Clint Capela. That would be a stretch if we can get him, but who knows? I really wanted Dwight Howard last year. Obviously, we're not going to get him now, but maybe Blake Griffin. We'll see. I just want that big guy that can do his job, cut to the rim, and just play some lockdown defense. Because if we get that, then I think we have a really good shot at beating a team like the 76ers, who has a guy like we saw Embiid. Embiid's a feisty motherfucker. Oh. Last night, he got into a fight with Anthony Towns, and I think that's where he's going to hurt us. He's going to be aggressive down low. He might not be the best big guy out there, but Embiid fights, and he's feisty, and he's not afraid to talk shit. And we need a guy like that in Boston. We need a little smack talker down low that's just going to fight, because the rest of this team can fight. We saw that last night. They did not give up. And as we saw through every game this season, so far we've been down at halftime almost every game we've played so far this season. And we've came back and won every single one besides 76ers. So this team is – I didn't expect them to be this feisty.
Absolutely. Me neither. And if the Celtics end up establishing themselves as a front runner in the East, I always say it, Danny Ainge we trust. I know he'll go out there and make the right trades to push the Celtics over the edge. He's one of the best GMs out there. And as mad as I've got at Danny Ainge over the years, and I've got really mad at the trades he did and didn't make, I have faith. Because honestly, my predictions are already falling apart. The Pacers are like, what, 1-4 now? So And Victor Oladipo isn't coming back till December. So I don't have a lot of faith for them anymore, unfortunately, with their slow start. That makes another top spot available, which I think the Celtics could easily fill. So if they're down the stretch and they need that player to put them in the edge against the 76ers, because let's be honest, Embiid dominated down low in the first game. No one was around to stop him.
No, and that's what I'm scared of. If we don't go out and get a big man, and we do end up going into the playoffs against the 76ers, whatever round it may be, it could be these conference finals, it could be the round before that, I wouldn't feel great about my chances unless the Celtics are red hot going into that round, because we just don't have the big men to beat them. I think overall our team is better, but I think the big man weakness is really huge. Like, I think they'll be able to dominate the post, get those rebounds, get second chances, get better looks than us, and that would really hurt us in the playoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, the Celtics have scorers all over the place. I can't say it enough. Like, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum on the outside.
We'll see.
But, yeah, exactly. Let's see if it stays consistent. But, honestly, from what I've seen from Jason Tatum, I think he should break that 20 points per game barrier this year. He's been playing great.
Really?
He's not taking all those stupid shots that I saw in the first game. I hope he gets shaken off the rust, and now he's getting back into it. But, honestly, just beyond the starting five, like, a lot of the Celtics players are finally able to put the ball in the basket. Like, that brings me to Marcus Smart. I have loved what I've seen from Marcus Smart. What do you think about
him? Yeah, we talked about this before we even started the podcast. When I went to the Raptors game the last Friday night, it was gross. Smart takes so many threes. I think he took seven threes that game or even more. I mean, maybe he was just practicing his three-point shot because some of them were going in. I want to look up the stat right now, his three-point percentage. I mean, he's shooting 33% from the three-point land, which isn't really honestly not terrible.
No, it's better for what he did. I think in his first couple of years, he was around 27%. I think last year he was 31%. So it's still early. He's bumping the numbers up. And he's been hitting a lot better.
Yeah, and I think Brad Stevens is allowing him to do that. I feel like he's just telling Smart to be like, hey, go play this junkyard basketball. Do you. Play yourself. Because when Marcus Smart plays free, that's when he's best. If you try to restrict him and tell him, like, give him limits, I feel like he's just not going to play his brand of basketball. And he's just not going to have fun with it. And when Smart's having fun, boy, it's exciting to watch because he just takes shots. He's confident with a shot, and he plays great defense. And that's what the Celtics need.
Absolutely. And I get mad at him, but overall, as a Celtics fan, you gotta love having Marcus Smart on your team. You need Brad Stevens to give him the ultimate green light. Even if he goes out there and takes seven threes in the game and only makes three of them, that green light also involves him diving for loose balls, playing killer defense, you know, roughing up the other team a little bit, no easy buckets. You know, he likes to make people earn the baskets that they get, send them to the free throw line. So overall, I used to hate him. I'm going to be completely honest. I wasn't a huge Marcus Smart guy, but he's really turning my opinion around this season from what I saw early.
Yeah, and we'll see what he can keep doing down the stretch. He's one of those guys that could sneak into the starting lineup some nights. You never know. If they give Walker some rest here and there, he will crack the starting lineup. Or if they want to go small, he will crack the starting lineup one here and there. But I would
lean him in there to defend like the bigger guys too, like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, other stars. You need Marcus Smart there, Giannis.
Yep, and he could even down the line. I mean, I'm thinking big here. Maybe he'll get that Sixth Man of the Year award.
It's not a stretch.
It's not too much of a stretch. I mean, I'm saying this because we're from Boston. We're Boston guys, but he's been playing well so far, and if he can continue that, which we'll see. I can tell we're getting pretty hyped about this team because we've seen some good examples of what this team could do. I want to see them against New York at home Friday, tomorrow, come out blazing hot. I don't want to see them coming out and not having the lead at halftime. I want to see this team finally come out and actually just put the clamps on them. And just go balls to the wall and see what we can do. These next three games are so easy. We should just destroy these teams. And if we don't, I'll be a little upset about it.
Absolutely. That's going to be something I'll be watching. I mean, it's the Knicks. Come on. They're a laughing stock. They didn't get any of the stupid stars they want. Every meme I see on NBA memes is a friggin' Knicks meme. I mean, they're embarrassing. I want the Celtics to come out and just from the jump, get out there, get their three-pointers in, and everyone gets in a flow, in a rhythm. Hopefully Gordon Hayward can get everyone their open shots too. So,
yeah, like they're so inexperienced. They're a young team. And so are the Celtics. We're a really young team, but we have the talent. Just come out and destroy these three teams going forward. New York, Cleveland, Charlotte. Get that confidence up before you go to Charlotte and play some real competition, a real well-coached team. And that's when we'll see what the Celtics can really do. Because last night, we don't know what the Celtics can really do yet. It's only been four games. I don't want Celtics fans to be like, oh, we're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to the championship. We beat the Milwaukee Bucks last night. We beat them by 11 points. We're going to the championship. No, the Bucks are still a really good team. I bet if whatever amount of times we play them this year, we're probably going to go 500 against them or maybe even worse than that. You just got to let this season play out because it's still so, so young. We have a long season to go, and I'm not getting my hopes up just yet.
Absolutely, and I'd love to pound my chest and be like Celtics 2020 champions. Like, obviously, as much as the next guy, and last year, from the jump, I was, oh, Celtics are winning it all. Like, it's easy. Even against the Warriors, I was like, this team's too good. But obviously, my hopes and dreams came crashing down, and I'm starting to learn. So I'm not going to jump out and say it right now, especially with the lack of confidence I had going into the season. But I keep an open mind. I guess anything's possible.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point. Last year, we all went into the season, oh, my God, Celtics are going to win the championship. Like, Kyrie Irving, we're going to go off. We're going to easily make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, easily make it to the championship. No one's going to stop us. And then, bam, we got slapped in the face. All the drama was going down. Kyrie Irving was just not a team player. Players didn't step up like they should have. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum did, but Gordon Hayward had an off year. And it was just very disappointing. And we got everyone got their hopes set so high before last season. So this season, I went into this thinking, I even thought we were going to lose the first four games of the season. I was like, Philly's great, Toronto's great, New York will somehow lose that game. I don't know how, but the Celtics will find a way to lose it. And then Milwaukee, we get our asses kicked. But I was completely wrong, and I'm very happy about it. Just go into all these games thinking we're going to lose, and when they do win, you're so much more excited.
Absolutely. We're standing back here like, wow, would you look at that?
Would you look at that? And I'm pleasantly surprised because last year the Celtics could not score in the second half. They lost games due to like the lack of being able to put the ball in the basket. And this year they're really doing some magic in the second half, which is really nice to see for a change.
Yeah, it's really nice not having those Kyrie Irving isolations that completely halt an offense. I still wake up in cold sweats thinking of that terrible time.
And speaking of Kyrie Irving, I mean, I said last week, I was like, boy, I wish we had Kyrie Irving, 51 points this first game. Look at what he's up to now. He's back to his old ways. He's causing more drama in New York. I mean, in Brooklyn, causing lots of more drama than he was here. Seems like he's yelling at his at the other players on his team. They're not in the correct spot for the game. What's your take on that?
Major PTSD from last year, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
The reports go back as early as the preseason game they had against China, where Kyrie Irving apparently disappeared for 5 hours and didn't talk to anyone, didn't let anyone know where he was or what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, man, if you're a part of a team, you just can't be pulling shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what does this guy, like, there's a screw loose up there. And I don't know why the Nets, I mean, obviously he's a great player. He's one of the best in the league. He's probably top 10 in the NBA. He can score with any guy up there. But my God, he brings so much fucking drama to any team he goes to. I don't get what he's thinking. And he's a great player, but he's more of that second fiddle kind of role, I think. He's not a captain. He's not a leader. And maybe once Durant gets back, he'll solve some of those issues. But until then, Durant even said today he's probably not coming back this season.
Yeah, probably, I can't imagine he's coming back.
He's probably not going to come back. So we're going to see the Nets just crumble with Kyrie Irving as their leader this year. And it's going to be fun to watch because I'm hoping they crumble and we see Kyrie Irving get all mad and pissed off. And then hopefully they trade him away somewhere else because that'd be hilarious to see. And we can just sit back and watch the Celtics play fun, exciting basketball like we haven't gotten to see in a few years. And I can't wait for it.
Some nice Kyrie-less basketball. In Brooklyn, one last thing about them, they got to see if the Kyrie Irving problem is worth the entertainment they're going to get. Because he's going to have those crazy 50-point scoring nights, bring it overtime, whether he hits or misses the game winner. Yeah, I think he's averaging 31 points on the season. So each night he's going out there and he's balling, he's killing it. But then come the articles and all the reports of him being a terrible teammate. So it's like, for the Celtics, it's not worth it. We're a championship-caliber team. Every year we have our sights on the championship. But for Brooklyn fans, they're probably just looking for any sort of success. So I'm sure they're fine putting up with this right now, knowing the only time Kyrie's had success, like you said, when he was second fiddle to LeBron. So when Kevin Durant comes back, maybe they can find success that way. Personally, I can't imagine either one of them like fitting well together. I mean, Kevin Durant's an emotional lesbian, and Kyrie is just a nightmare to deal with.
Yeah, they're both. Like you said, it's going to be a weird dynamic. I think that ends up working out pretty well. I think Durant's more of that leadership kind of guy. And Kyrie Irving next to him, like, who's going to be able to stop those two? You're going to have to double-team one of those guys, and then they can dump it off to whoever else, and they're going to score. So we'll see, but we don't have to worry about that until next year. Kyrie Irving might not even be on the team next year. Who knows? Yeah. Like, who knows what Kyrie Irving could do? Maybe he'll retire. I wouldn't be surprised if we woke up tomorrow and we saw in the news Kyrie Irving retires from basketball.
Yeah, we'll moves to some random farm in the middle of nowhere.
Or goes to play basketball in China or some crazy move. Would not be surprised at all because that guy's a lunatic. I hate to say it because I'm a Duke fan, but yeah, he's a great basketball player, but there's something missing up there because he's going crazy. And I wish him the best of luck sometimes, but after he kind of just like screwed Boston over, I'm happy he's on a team that's not going to go anywhere this season. Hopefully they don't even make the playoffs, in my opinion.
I hope the worst for
him. Yeah, we hope the worst for him. But I think that's it for tonight, everybody. Like I said, this is the Raptors Podcast, episode 13. Tune in next Thursday night for next week's episode. And like we said, Celtics, let's see if they can stay hot, baby.